Welcome to an incredible word from Pastor Marcus Dunham, Associate Pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
All right, it's good to see everybody. Thank you, Pastor Ron, for allowing me to preach this morning. I appreciate that a lot. And I've been so excited about this Sunday. And I, you know, have been praying and just, you know, asking God, you know, what did he want to share? And I ended up with like three messages because I didn't know which one, but I ended up landing on the one for today. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 22. And the title of the message today is The Great Invitation. We're going to be talking about the Great Invitation. You know, God has extended an invitation to the world. And it's an invitation that all would accept, that all would accept what he has to offer. And today we're going to be talking about that and how we play a role in that as well. So as I mentioned, we're going to be in chapter 22. And Jesus, he was in the temple towards the end of his ministry, and he was teaching the people. And as he was there, there were leaders of the temple and elders who were looking to oppose Jesus. They wanted to challenge him. You know, they didn't like Jesus very much. And they were looking for a way that they can trap him and catch him in a lie and or try to find a way that they can arrest him. And so they challenged him. And Jesus, he began to rip off on a series of parables. And a parable is for those who aren't aware, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly truth. To reveal a heavenly truth. And a parable reveals the truth to those who want to know, but it conceals from those who don't want to know, from those who refuse. And so Jesus, he goes on this series of parables, and of course, you know, in these parables, there's parts of them that are clearly challenging and speaking out against these elders, you know, against these people. And so, you know, they're pretty upset. And Jesus then he shares another parable, and this is what we're going to read today. And so Matthew chapter 22, we're going to jump straight into it, and we're going to begin in verse 1. So this is what Jesus says. Again, Jesus spoke spoke in a parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused. Then he sent more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet,' but they paid no attention and went off." Okay, we're going to stop there for a moment just to kind of recap for a moment. Okay, we're going to split this up in a few areas. So Jesus tells a parable. There's a king, and he is putting on a banquet for his son. And he sends out his servants to inform the invited guests. Okay, so there were guests who were already invited, and so he sends his servants to inform them. But the invited guests, they refuse to come. So the king, he sends out more. And this time, he lets them know that this is a big deal. He lets them know that this is that the oxen and the fattened cattle have been butchered. This would have let them know that this was a very big banquet. And yet, again, it says that they paid no attention to them and they left. In fact, it says that not only, if you keep reading, it says that they mistreated his servants and they even killed them. So they're showing an utter disrespect for the king. I mean, this was a big deal. Anybody would have wanted to have been invited to a banquet like this. Anybody. And when he talks about the ox and the fattened calf, and that was butchered. This was like the best of the best. This was the top of the line. And they rejected the king's offer. So In a parable, there's always parallels. So I want to point out just a few parallels. We're going to do this along the way. The king in this parable represents God. The son represents Jesus. The banquet represents the kingdom of God. And the original guests represents the Jews, the people of Israel who rejected Jesus. So Jesus, he's telling a story, but he's revealing to them, and he's challenging these people, letting them know that you are rejecting something that you have no idea what's being offered to you. But he's letting them know that that this was something that was a big deal. Now, so when he lays this out, we kind of see the idea of what's happening. But the parable continues. So let's keep reading. Verse 9. Jesus says, he says that in the parable, the king speaks, "Now go out to the street corners and invite everyone you see." So the servants brought in everyone that they could find, good and bad alike, and the banquet hall was filled with guests. So after the king finds out that they mistreated his servants, he's upset, and he responds to them, and he issues out justice. And so from there, he then turns to more servants, and he says, "I'm sending you out, and I want you to find anybody and everybody that you can find." Anybody, he says, he sends them out into the street corners. Some translations say the highways. But he sends them out and says, "Find anybody and everybody that you can and invite them and bring them." And that's exactly what they did. So some more parallels here. The servants, these next servants that he is referring to, are followers of Christ, you and I. Now, the first servants were the prophets and also the apostles who were mistreated by the people of Israel and were even killed. These new servants are the followers of Christ, are you and I, born-again believers. The street corners or the highways represent the world. These new guests that are being brought in to the banquet represent anyone who accepts his invitation. The invitation that God has, and the invitation is the good news. Jesus, in this parable, is speaking about what is going to happen, and he's letting them know that he's going to be sending his people out, and his people are going to go into the world, and they are going to invite anybody and everybody who accepts my great invitation, his great invitation to be born again whenever they hear the good news. So this was ultimately the parable that Jesus was getting across. And in this, there were a few things that as I was reading, I thought was worth taking note of. And so I'm going to point out just a few more things about this that I think are important. Okay, so in this parable about the great banquet, one thing that we see is that God is focused on this great banquet. His attention is on the great banquet. This is what is on his mind. This is what everything is about. And I believe that God, at the end of the day, everything he is working for, everything that he is doing is all pointing to this one banquet. This one day where everybody is coming together. It's what his attention is on, and it's what he cares about. I believe it's what he cares about most. And the things that God cares about are the things that we should care about. It's the things that should be on our mind and our hearts as well. Secondly, we see that God desires to see his banquet hall full. He wants that banquet hall full. So much so that he sends his servants out and says, "Find anyone and everyone who receives this invitation, bring them in." He wants to see his banquet hall full, which, by the way, This invitation was like an RSVP type of invitation. And not only, and in this RSVP, once you accept it, he was going to pay your way on getting there. He was going to take care of your lodging when you're there. There's an all expenses paid. And not only that, but he also gives you what you are going to wear. In this, he was, you know, many times we don't know what to wear in something so grandiose, but this king, he was going to issue everything you needed, even your clothing. And here, God is issuing this invitation where it's all expenses paid. Everything is included. The Bible tells us that he wants his house full. The Bible says that that God desires that no man should perish, but that all would be saved. His desire is that every person will come to the saving knowledge of the truth. God cares about souls. He cares about people. And I believe that God is rejoicing at the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's rejoicing. He is celebrating with all of heaven, knowing that you are going to be at this great banquet. You've got a seat, you've got a name tag, and you are ready to go. But I think God is also burdened with the people in our lives whose names are not yet in that book. I believe that God cares so deeply about the people around us who have yet to have been saved, because he wants his house full. He wants as many people there as possible. As many people there as possible. And so God is focused on this banquet. He wants his banquet full. And also, I believe something that God also wants us to understand is that the banquet hall door is still open. That in this parable, it's clear that there is a time in which the door is open for anyone and everyone to come. God, he is wanting people from all over the world to be saved, to be born again, no matter where they come from. What I like about this is that it said the good and bad alike. You know, it had nothing to do with who you were before. It had nothing to do with the life that you lived in the past. It had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with an invitation that was sent out. And I believe that there are people that are here today. Maybe you have been thinking about getting saved. Maybe you have been so close. I believe that today that there is someone here, there's someone watching who is ready to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. In fact, you know, you might be here today because someone invited you. Maybe you came and you woke up, you just wanted to come to church. But I believe that today you're here because the Holy Spirit has drawn you in. And today is your day to get saved. Everyone has a day in which they have an opportunity to be born again. The door is still open. And because of that, number four, the last thing that I noticed is the responsibility of the servants. You see, God sent, the king sends servants out. He sends them out into the streets, into the city, into the countryside, looking for anyone and everyone who is willing to accept this invitation. And they had one task. Their one task was to go and to find as many people and to bring them back to the banquet. I believe that that is exactly what God has called you and I to do. That you and I, we have a goal. We have a task that God has assigned for us. And that is to bring as many people to heaven with us as possible. Now listen, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to have the Bible memorized. You don't have to have any of those things because you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ on the inside of you. Now, the fact is that, there are a lot of things that are important in life that we are called to be responsible to. Even God calls us to be responsible to. I mean, whether it be our family, whether it be our career, whether it be education, whether it be our safety, whether it be our finances, all these things are important and they require our attention. They require our focus because it is required. However, it is important that we do not allow the important things to distract us from our purpose. God has given us a purpose, and God is sending people our way so that we can invite them to the banquet, so that we can let them know about what Jesus did in our life and that they can have a seat at this banquet as well. You and I have a responsibility. And the reason why we have this responsibility is found in the latter parts of this parable, verses 11 through 13. Let's read it. It says this: "But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how is it that you are here without wedding clothes?' But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, 'Bind his hands and feet and throw him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Now, this verse kind of seems like it doesn't really fit with this parable. It kind of seems out of place here. But what's happening is you have this banquet, and everyone who is at this banquet received the invitation. And with that invitation was an RSVP. And when you came, you were given the clothes necessary to wear there at that wedding. And there was a man who showed up. And no doubt, he wanted to be there. No doubt, he probably imagined that he was supposed to be there. But also, I'm sure that he noticed that there was a difference between him and everyone else. And when the king went, and he began to meet and greet with all the new guests that are there at the banquet, he stumbles across this man not wearing the correct clothes. Now, what's interesting about this man is that I think that this man reflects so many people that are in our lives, represents people who believe that they're on their way to heaven, that they believe that they're going to be accepted into the afterlife because they've done good things, because they're good people, because there's people that are worse off than them, because of the religious things that they do, going to church and all these things. Many people imagine that they're on the way to heaven. However, the only way that you show up to this wedding is if you RSVP'd and you were clothed in the garments that were provided. You see, I believe that the wedding garments that were provided here in this parable represents the righteousness of Christ. Because no man can step into heaven, can step into his presence on their own. Our own righteousness is not good enough. But instead, we need the righteousness of Christ. And the only way that happens is when we place our faith in him. When we place our faith in him, he clothes us in his righteousness. But many people in our life think and believe that they're on their way. If he was, maybe he was offered, but he rejected. But I don't think that was it. Because if he would have rejected, he wouldn't have showed up. I think he showed up because no one invited him. I wonder how many people are in our life who have not been invited to the banquet, who have not received that invitation. I want to show you guys a quick picture, okay? Try not to laugh, okay? I'm going to show you a quicker. Go and put that picture up. All right, this is me. Listen, I know I look raggedy. Okay? Yeah, Ethan, yes. I look a little raggedy here, guys, okay? But now listen, this picture is actually very precious to me. Because this young man, listen, I smiled a lot. I had a smile on my face. I was a good dude. I was hanging out with everybody. I was nice to everybody. I could get along with anybody. Man, I was a great guy. I think so. And, but people imagined that I was a good dude. But nobody imagined the turmoil that was going on in my life. Nobody knew the things that was going on in my heart and in my mind. Nobody knew that I was headed down the wrong direction. But then this young woman named Jenny stepped into my life and she invited me to the banquet. She began to tell me about Jesus and she kept inviting me. She didn't even know what she was doing. She just kept inviting me to church. And eventually I showed up. And when I showed up, I thought everybody there was weird. They were jumping up and down in worship and all this stuff. But I wanted to keep coming back because I liked the people. There was something about them. And eventually I got invited to camp. And that's where I'm at in this picture. This picture was taken literally hours before I gave my life to Jesus. That day, every time I see it, I remember who I was and who I am today. But I was only there because someone invited Marcus to the banquet. How many people are in our life that look great, look awesome, maybe even believe, not even thinking about afterlife, but they haven't been invited to the banquet? They need an invitation. And that comes from the servants that the king sent out. It comes from you and I as born-again believers. Let me tell you, you guys can take that picture down. If you've seen enough of it. Listen, let me encourage you. I only did that just to show that there are people in our life that God is sending our way. He's sending them. He's sending them to you because he needs you to invite them. He needs for you to share Jesus with them. And you can do that. So how? How can we do that? A few takeaways. Number one is, first, we have to realize that we have been sent by God. Realize that God has sent you. He has sent you. Many times we imagine, I'm not qualified for this. You are, because you have been born again. You have the ability. You have been sent by God. Number two is, you can pray for people to receive God's invitation. You can begin praying for people. You begin praying for the people that God is putting on your heart, the people that you come across at work, the people that you're coming across, in your neighborhood, your friends, even people in your family. Begin praying for them, to continue praying for them. I see my cousins here. I've been praying for Terrence, by the way. We're praying for our family members. We can pray for them that they will receive God's invitation. And then number three, we can share Jesus with them. Just share Jesus with them. Because they can't get in without Jesus. We can share Jesus with them. Listen, maybe you don't feel comfortable. Maybe you don't feel like you know enough about Jesus. Well, listen, share your testimony with them. Share with them what Jesus has done in your life. How he changed your heart and what he did in your life. And maybe if you're not comfortable with that, let me encourage you just to invite him to church. Bring him to church with you. People are more willing to go to church than we think. A lot of times God is already tugging on their hearts. The Holy Spirit is already working on them. We just invite them to church. And they are going to get, and God, the Holy Spirit, will begin working on them while they're here. But either way, let us begin to invite them to the banquet. Let us begin to share Jesus with people so that they can be born again. Amen? You are here today because someone share Jesus with you. Let us be willing, let us be ready, let us be alert to do the very thing that God has purposed us to do. We have one task, and that is to invite as many people to the banquet as possible. Amen? Amen. Well, listen, we're going to pray, and I believe that there may be some people here who have not given their heart to Jesus yet, and I want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you've been wanting to. Maybe you're here, and maybe you thought that you were on your way to heaven, but you're not sure. Let me tell you that you want to be sure. You want to be rock solid, confident that you are on your way to heaven. And it's simply by accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior so you can be born again. There's no other way. We have to accept him. And so here in a moment, we're going to pray. In fact, we're going to pray all together as a church. And if you're here today and you're not sure that you are born again, I want you to pray this prayer. I want you to mean it in your heart. I want you to pray it believing the words that you're saying them to the Lord, because the Word of God says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Bible says you will be saved. So let's go ahead and pray, family. Let's pray. Everybody say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. I open up my heart and ask that you would come into me now and be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins and help me to follow you. I turn my back on the world and I choose to follow you today, Jesus. Help me to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, the Bible says that you were born again. You are saved. In fact, I believe that all of heaven is celebrating today that you have been saved. If you're watching online, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you have been saved. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for this dynamic message from Pastor Marcus Dunham. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.